The Mishnayos continue with the various lists of 10. This Mishnah is actually the final list of 10, and more specifically, we're talking about 10 things which were created on Erev Shabbos, just before Shabbos was about to come in, during twilight. In the last few moments before Shabbos began, these 10 things were added on to the creation. And the common denominator between these 10 things is that they are totally miraculous in their entire nature. Even though in the Torah we find many miracles, the Rambam explains that when, let's take for example, the sea splitting at the Yam Suf. When the sea was created during the 6 days of creation, Hashem made it a condition in the nature of the sea that when it comes to that exact moment that the sea will need to be split for the Jewish people, that the sea would split. In general, the sea's nature is to flow in one direction, so over here, the flow of the sea went in a bit of a different direction. But regarding these 10 things, which were created just before Shabbos began, their entire creation is unnatural. So there needed to be a sort of separate creation for them. The Elohein, and these are those 10 things. Firstly, Pi Ha'aretz, the mouth of the ground, which swallowed up Korach and those who were with him. Pi Ha'be'er, the mouth of the well, the opening of the well of Miriam, which gave the Jewish people water in the desert. Thirdly, Pi Ha'asayin, the mouth of the donkey, which spoke to Bilam. Number four, the Akeshes, the rainbow that Hashem brings as a sign that he'll never bring a flood to destroy the entire world. Number five, the Hamon, the miraculous mon, which provided food for the Jewish people in the desert. Number six, the Amate, the stick which was used by Moshe Rabbeinu to perform most of the nisim, most of the miracles, which Hashem performed via Moshe. Number seven, the Hashomer, the Shomer was a special type of worm which could cut through a very hard rock. And Moshe Rabbeinu used the Shomer worm to cut the stones of the Choshen. Shlomo HaMelech used it to cut stones for the Mizbeach, because it was forbidden to use metal to cut the stones of the Mizbeach. V'aksav v'hamichtov, this is number 8 and number 9, the writing and that which was written. There's a discussion as to what exactly these two things are. We are going to understand that the ksav is the writing which was on the luchos. They were written and the letters stood there in a miraculous way. And the michtov refers to the miracle that from whatever direction one would look at the luchos, he would be able to read what was said on the luchos. In general, if something's written in one direction, so if you're looking at it from the other side, then either you wouldn't be able to see it at all, or you see it, but it's the wrong way around. There was a miracle with the writing of the Luchos that from whatever direction you would be seeing it, it would appear normal and you would be able to read it. And finally, the Haluchos, the Luchos themselves, this is referring to the first pair of Luchos which were made by Hashem, and not by Moshe, and these were miraculous in nature, and they were also created at twilight just before Shabbos began. And there are those who say, Afmazikin, even the demons, they were created just before Shabbos. Interestingly, the Medrash says that it's as if Hashem didn't have enough time to give these souls bodies. And that's what the demons are, it's as if they're souls who were not given bodies, it's as if Hashem didn't have enough time. And the way that many explain this Medrash is that Hashem was coming to teach us a lesson. That when Shabbos comes in, regardless of what one is in the middle of, he should leave it all in order to go and greet the Shabbos and not be busy with anything else. As well as that, to Kfaros Shel Moshe, the burial place, the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah says that nobody knows where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried, who was buried in some miraculous way, and his grave was created just before Shabbos began. And Ve'ele Shel Avraham Avinu, the ram which appeared to Avraham Avinu after Akedas Yitzchak, which Avraham then slaughtered instead of his son Yitzchak. According to this opinion, it was also created at the twilight time just before Shabbos began. Ve'yesh Omrim, and there are those who add another one to the list, Aftzvas Bitzvas Asuya, which means even tongues were made with tongues. What exactly does that mean? So if you think about it, how are tongues, how's anything, a piece of metal, how's that made? So you hold the piece of metal in a fire, and you bash it and you start shaping it up in the fire. But you need a piece of metal like tongues to hold that piece of metal in the fire. So if that's the case, then how on earth was the first pair of tongues ever made? If you need a pair of tongs to hold the metal into the fire in order to make it. So the answer is that it was made miraculously. Hashem made the first pair of tongs just before Shabbos began so that future tongs and any piece of metal would be able to be created by man. Mishnah Zayin. The Perek has now ended the lists of 10, and the next few Mishnayos bring different lists of 7. Shiva Dvarim B'Golem V'Shiva B'Chacham. There are 7 things which exist in a Golem. The word Golem refers to somebody... Literally, a Golem is something which is not complete. And in this context, we're talking about somebody who hasn't worked on himself. He's foolish, he hasn't built his character. And on the other hand, there are 7 attributes, 7 aspects of a wise man who has worked on himself. So this mission is a sort of instruction manual, how to go from being somebody who hasn't worked on himself and is literally the raw material, how to take that and to change one's nature to become a chacham. Firstly, a chacham ein medaber b'fnei mishu golem ein b'chachma. A wise person, a chacham, doesn't speak in front of somebody who is more wise than him, because he knows that he should be listening to the other person so that he can learn from him. Number 2, he doesn't interrupt his friend's words. He lets him finish what he is saying. Number 3, he doesn't answer in a hurried way. Rather, he thinks properly before he gives an answer to somebody's question. Number 4, he asks his teacher questions which are on topic, very clearly articulated questions to the point, and that way, Yomeshiv Ka'alacha, he allows for his teacher to be able to answer according to the correct halacha. He gets a clear answer because of his clear question. So he knows how to ask questions properly. Number 5, if somebody asks him a number of questions, so he will answer the first question first and the last question last. He has a sense of order and organization. Number 6, that which he hasn't heard, he says, I haven't heard it. Meaning if he is saying a particular idea which he himself thought of, so he tells people that it's his own idea and it's not something which he heard from his teachers. He differentiates between something which he himself is suggesting and something which he heard from his teachers. And number 7, Modalo MS, he admits to the truth. If he has a debate, a discussion with somebody else, and he realizes that he is wrong, he won't be stubborn and stick with his own opinion, but he'll admit that he thinks that the truth is according to the other opinion. The Chilufeim Begolem, and the opposite of all of these things, can be found with somebody who is raw material, somebody who hasn't worked on himself, and would still gain the status of a Golem. Rav Moshe Shapiro has an interesting note on this Mishnah. He asks, the Mishnah began by saying that there are 7 things which can be found in a Golem, and 7 things with a Chacham. So it started by talking about the Golem and then the Chacham, and then we only listed the things to do with the Chacham. And we just said that the opposite can be found in a fool, in somebody who hasn't worked on himself. Why did the Mishnah start off in the opposite order? And he answers beautifully. He says that the message being given over is that every Chacham began a Golem. The word Golem means something which is unfinished, somebody who hasn't worked on himself. We are born incomplete, and we need to aim to complete ourselves, to become a Chacham. But the Mishnah begins by with the Golem, to show that even the Chacham which our Mishnah is talking about began a Golem. So even if we're not perfect right now, that's okay, as long as we're aiming to complete ourselves, to change our nature, and to become that Chacham which the Mishnah is talking about. There are 7 types of punishment which come to the world for 7 different categories of sin. And we're talking here more on a mass level when there are many people performing these aviras. What punishments will come to the world? Firstly, if some of the people of the world or of a particular location separate the tithes which are necessary, the tithes referring to the various gifts which one has to separate from his produce and give to Kohanim, Levim, and poor people. So if some of the people in that area or in the world are separating the tithes as they should, but some of them are miktsasan inam asrin, some people are not separating the necessary tithes. In such a case, Rav Shal Bat Tzeiras Bar, a famine due to a drought comes because of the not raining. There'll be a famine which leads to miktsasan re'evim miktsasan ein tzveim. Some people will be hungry and some people will have enough food to fill themselves up. Midah k'neged midah, measure for measure, because some people were not separating the tithes, so some people will end up being hungry. Right, number 2 out of 7, gomru shlele aser. If everybody decided not to separate tithes, so now nobody is separating the tithes as they should, rov shal mahumah v'shal batzeres bar. A famine of confusion and of famine comes. This is more severe than the previous one, and that there'll be mayhem. There'll be walls which will stop people from even working in the field, and as a result of that, nobody will be able to get any food. Once again, middle, can I get middle, because everybody stopped separating the tithes, so everybody will go hungry. Number three, v'shaloy letel es achala. If everybody decides not to separate chala, which is the gift, a part of one's dough, which he takes off and gives to a kohen, if people don't do that, that's considered even more severe than the previous one. Because it's very easy to exempt oneself from not needing to separate challah. If you bake the bread in small batches, so you're exempt. And nevertheless, these people went ahead and they didn't try to exempt themselves. They baked bread normally in large batches and didn't separate the challah. It's considered more severe, and therefore Rav Shel Kaloyaba, a famine of destruction comes, meaning it's going to be a very severe famine with many deaths involved. Not just people being hungry, right? Number four, Dever Bodo Olam. Plague will come to the world where people will die unnatural deaths very quickly without a period of being ill first. They'll just suddenly die. Al Misa Samaras Bathurjalin Sula Beastin, as a punishment for transgressions, whose punishment the Torah says is death, but the Beastin are not able to kill them. For example, if the punishment is Koreis or death by Hashem killing them, an early death, or if there aren't enough witnesses about that person's having committed that sin. So those who transgress these averus will end up being killed by a plague. If there are lots of people who did this, then those who did it will be killed by a sudden death. And this punishment of a sudden death, a plague of a sudden death, also comes as a punishment for not observing the laws of Shemitah produce properly. The idea of Shemitah during once every 7 years, one needs to open their fields for anybody to be able to come and collect the produce from there. And the main aim is so that poor people will be able to get all of that food. Now, if you don't observe those laws properly, you're stopping poor people from getting food, and that can often lead to the poor people's death. And therefore, your punishment is going to be a sudden death. Alright, we're up to number five. Cherev Bala Olam. The sword of war which will kill people, that comes to the world, Al Inui Hadin, as a punishment for dragging out a case. If the Beis Din came to a particular decision, but they drag it out, and they don't yet give the final verdict, so that just causes agony to the people involved who are awaiting the verdict, and so they'll get a punishment for that. Val Ivus Hadin, this punishment of war and being killed at war, also comes for when Beis Din warp the justice system and they don't judge cases with proper unbiased decisions. And thirdly, Valamur Batoish Lokalocha, for those who state laws in the Torah which are not according to the correct halacha. All of these three things are examples of corrupting the society. And as a result of that, war will come and indeed cause major havoc in the society among the people. A plague of wild animals who will kill people. That punishment will come to the world, Al Shavuas Shov, as a punishment for making an oath unnecessarily. That's considered to be a desecration of Hashem's name. An oath is swearing by Hashem's name, and if it's unnecessary, then it's a big avera. V'yalchil Hashem, and for the sin of desecrating Hashem's name, be it in public, be it in private, as we've discussed early on in this Masechta. The whole purpose of a human being in this world is to sanctify Hashem's name. We're the ones who have intellect, unlike any other creation, and therefore the main purpose, the entire purpose of this world, is to spread Hashem's glory for anybody who has intellect to recognize Hashem. So if we're causing a desecration of Hashem's name and going against the entire purpose of the human being in this world, so you're no better than an animal, and therefore the punishment is animals to come and kill people. Golus Bala Olam, exile from Eretz Yisrael, comes to the world. That is the punishment for the following four sins. Al Ovdei Avodah Zarah, for those who serve idolatry. Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be the most ideal place for keeping Torah and Mitzvahs. If somebody totally denies the existence of Hashem, so they have no right to be in Eretz Yisrael. Secondly, Val Gilui Arayis, on the Avera of being immoral. The land of Eretz Yisrael cannot stand impurity. Val Shfichus Domim, for the sin of murder, which is representative of a corrupted society not meant for Eretz Yisrael. And fourthly, Val Hashmatas Haaretz, not keeping the laws of Shemitah, of not working the land in Eretz Yisrael. If you work the land of Eretz Yisrael, so you're not observing the laws which relate specifically to Eretz Yisrael. So of course, Midah Keneged Midah, you're going to be chucked out of Eretz Yisrael. And now the Mishnah elaborates on one of these seven punishments which have been discussed, namely Dever, a plague when people suddenly die. By Bar Prokma Dever Misrabeh, this punishment of the plague of people suddenly dying increases and is much more likely to be in four specific times. Bervius in the fourth year of the 7-year Shemitah cycle, Uvashvius in the Shemitah year itself, Uvameitzei Shvius the year after the Shemitah year, Uvameitzei Chag Shemachal Shabbat Vashana, and the period right after Sukkos every single year. Bervius, the reason why this punishment is more common in the fourth year, because of a lack of observance of separating the tithes to give to poor people. Maisa'oni is a tenth of one's produce which he needs to give to the poor, and that applies in the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. So if that wasn't observed properly, then in the fourth year, the year after that, people will be punished. And Bashavias, in the Shemitah year, B'nei Maisa'oni Shabashishis, people will be punished as a result of not observing the Maisa'oni in the sixth year. And the reason why this punishment is common in the year after a Shemitah year in Peyos Shavuos is because of people not observing the laws of Shemitah produce properly. This punishment is common right after Sukkos every year, because of stealing the other tithes, the other gifts which are given to poor people, such as when a farmer forgets certain bundles or stalks in the field. He's obligated to give that to poor people. If he doesn't do that, it's effectively like stealing from them. And Sukkos is at the time of the harvest. And therefore, right after Sukkos is when the punishment for those who didn't observe those laws properly will be delivered.